talking about what they called the 1920s, the Roaring Twenties. And so last week we talked about the fact that we're entering into another decade, the 20s. And we're calling this not the Roaring Twenties, but we want more in 20.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so if you were here, one of the things we said last week was, if you're going to have more in 20, then you got to look at two things. Look at your foundation. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
The foundation is the thing on which the whole house is built. And if the foundation is no good, the house will collapse. Amen.
Amen.
And we just didn't say that to be deep, but we became very specific because Jesus said that any man who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, he is like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand and the rains came. And then Jesus went on to say, but any man who hears these words of mine and they put them into practice, he is like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. And when the rains came, his house stood firm. So make no mistakes about it. What Jesus is saying is that the right foundation to your life is the application of God's word to every area of your life. Not your thoughts, not expert opinions, but the word of God ruling and reigning and having authority over every area in your life. Come on, somebody. That means God has authority over my marriage. That means God has authority over my finances. That means God has authority over my relationships. Everything I do, the word of God is the authority that governs how I do it. Amen, somebody. And so we talked about that Jesus just wasn't saying lay a good foundation and make it up as you go along, but he was specific to what that foundation is. Many people are trying to build a big house without the right foundation. And the house you might finish building it, but the rain is coming. Tell your neighbor, the rain is coming. And whatever you build will be tested. Come on, somebody. And then the other thing we said was, if you're going to have a great new year, you've got to check your priorities. And what I wanted you to know from that was that many people in their minds think they have a priority, but you can really tell what your priority is, not by what you think, but by what you do. What you do will indicate what's priority to you. Amen. You're not what you dream, you are what you choose. You are your choices, you are not your dreams. Come on, somebody. And you know, many people will say, I love God. Y'all can't tell me God ain't first. But never read the Bible. There's no way God is a priority and you don't talk to him through his word. Amen, somebody. There's no way God is first and your life doesn't indicate that. Amen. Somebody might say, my priority is saving money this year. But you're balling out every sale they got. Hallelujah. Your priorities would be indicated differently. You ain't trying to save. You're trying to look good. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I want to talk to you about two more things this year that I believe will absolutely bless your life if you pay attention to it. Well, it's actually one thing, but we'll break it down in two areas today. If you want to have more in 20, here's something that you have to pay attention to. That is your health. Come on, talk to me in this place. I do not want to chase a dream only to die when I get it. What is the point of trying to get something only to be sick when I get it? You might be chasing money, and when we get it, you take all that money to pay your hospital bill. In this church, we often laugh about a situation that we are familiar with because there was a prayer breakfast that, you know, we speak about that was once attended, and someone asked the person, could you pray over the breakfast? So the person began to pray and say, Lord, we bind the cholesterol demon. We come against the sugar demon. And everything was a devil and a demon. How many of you know cholesterol is not a demon? It's the food you eat. How many of you know there's no little sugar demon? You get sugar from what you eat.
That's right.
Amen. And many Christians, we give God work. We eat ourselves into problems. It's so quiet in here today. Hallelujah. First church service was turned to. I like first service better than y'all. Y'all got to make me like y'all again. Hallelujah. Make second service great again. Hallelujah. That's my slogan. Make second service great again. I'm telling you, we eat ourselves into problems. Amen. Come on, talk to me in this place. Listen to this. Every 40 seconds, an American has a heart attack. One out of seven U.S. Deaths is from heart attacks. You know how you get heart attacks? Popeye's chicken. Hallelujah. Approximately 463 million adults worldwide is living with diabetes. That's a lot of people. Half of them don't even know they got it. Look at this. Look at this. It says 232 million people with diabetes are not diagnosed. There's people walking around. Why am I always tired? Why when I eat, I want to fall asleep? You got diabetes. You got to go. Y'all ain't say nothing to me today. Hallelujah. There's all types of sicknesses that are claiming lives. And you've got to take care of yourself. Hallelujah. When you were young, you know, you could eat whatever you want, but when you get to a certain age, you just can't afford that luxury anymore. Amen. Amen. One good thing for you to do is, and I'm preaching to myself because my wife knows I hate it, go to the doctor. Amen. Get checked up. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me today. Hallelujah. All right, let me give you a scripture. John chapter 5, verse 20. Go to the doctor. Get checked out. Hallelujah. Got to take care of yourself. Amen. There are so many sicknesses nowadays. We just eat, and eat whatever. You can't live like that anymore. I want to show you some scriptures here of what the Bible says. Look at the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 31. We live in a state. Do you know that New York is one of the most expensive places to live in the world? That's why we all want to move to Atlanta or Florida. Pick one, right? You go to Atlanta, it's nothing but New Yorkers there. You go to Florida, man, bro. Queens, Brooklyn, what's up? It is super expensive to live here. With an expensive place becomes the busyness of trying to make a living. With the busyness of trying to make a living, oftentimes people don't even stop to take care of themselves. We don't, because we're so busy, we eat anything on the go. And then we wear it. True, right? I don't know about you, but if I order a burger, it come out right here. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We roll up to McDonald's. Can I get two heart attacks and a diabetes? Hallelujah. Y'all know what I'm saying? Certain age, you just can't drink or eat anything. I'm going to get back to that in a minute. But look at this, look at this. One of the things that is essential to your health is rest. Now, this ain't for lazy people. If all you've been doing is sleeping, you got another issue. You just gonna die asleep. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm talking about those folks who, look at what the Bible says. Jesus is so busy doing ministry. Then because so many people were coming and going. You ever feel like life is like that? Like you're coming and going, just going back and forth. And you got to connect with this one. You got to meet with this one. You got to get to work at this time. You got to wake up this time. I got to get this paper in. I got to finish school. You're doing so much that Jesus had to stop in the middle of his ministry. And then he said to them, look, because of so many people coming and going that they did not even have a chance to do what? You can be so busy that you forget to take care of yourself. Come on, talk to me. When I say take care of yourself, I don't mean go to the mall and give yourself a spa. I'm talking about really taking care of yourself. Your health. Y'all get quiet in here. Hallelujah. Amen. He said they didn't even have a chance to eat. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a what? To a loud place. Come with me. Let's sit and watch Instagram. That's our idea of relaxation. Opening our phone. I just need some downtime. You're going to be down after that time. Quiet place and get some rest. When I counsel a lot of marriages, one of the things I ask married people, when was the last time you guys, you know, people married 10 years, flipping out on each other, and they working and they bouncing into each other, seeing each other for 3 minutes. And, you know, if you're going to change, you've got to. One of the good things for a marriage survival is that y'all take breaks and have vacations. You need to stop all of the madness at times and get to know. Because listen, if you don't stop to rest and get to know the people around you, you're going to miss the people around you. If I'm going to have more in 20, I've got to take time and spend time with my children. I was telling first service, I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. I'm not the same person I was last month. For sure, Sister Sherry's not the same person she was 20 years ago. She's not the same person she was this morning. This woman be changing on me, y'all. I don't know who I'm dealing with. Amen. All jokes aside, because life changes us, you have to spend time together to get to re-know the new you. Perspectives change. Hallelujah. When I was 20, I promised Sherry the world. Girl, stick with me. We going places. 20 years later, still is the same. At this point, I got to find out if Sherry's getting ready to quit on me. You never know what people are thinking. You can only know that by spending time. I don't know how I got there, but I believe somebody needs to hear that. You need to take breaks in your life. Some of you say, okay, thank you, Pastor. That's it. I'm going to Hawaii. Can't afford it. I put it on a credit card. That's not what I'm saying. Because you're going to come back and you're going to need another break from your vacation. I'm not saying that. You see, if you can't afford Hawaii, Jones Beach can provide you the same sounds of the ocean. I am not joking. Find something that you can do affordable that causes you to take a break from reading everybody's updates, from reading all these status that infiltrate your mind, from watching the news, from hearing that Trump is going to stab us all in the neck, from hearing all this stuff. Stop yourself from all of what's happening at your job. Stop and just try to hear your own voice again. Amen. You know, every now and then you stop and you begin to realize, oh, Rich, you're still there. Because as a person, you become so many things to so many people. If you're a father or a husband, you're a husband. You're a father. You got to work. You got to become this. You got to do so much that sometimes you don't even remember who you are or why you do what you do. All you are is somebody who does. And everybody pulls from you, but you never receive. And Jesus understood this and said, come, while we're feeding everybody, we've got to stop to make sure we get poured back into. Take a break. Tell your neighbor, take a break. Go take a nice little relax. Put your foot up. Enjoy Rockaway Beach. Church City, y'all terrible. Y'all terrible to everybody that views this program from Rockaway. We love y'all. We have no problems with the beach over there. We just ain't coming. Hallelujah. Take a break. It is okay to take a break. Amen, somebody. Amen. Don't do it on Sunday, though. Next week, the whole church gone. What happened? You said take a break. Amen. Here's the other thing. Not only taking a rest, but you're going to have to, and we started speaking about this. I want to speak about it a little more. You got to watch what you eat. You got to watch what you eat. Look at what the Bible says. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Look at this. Paul is writing, and he says something very important. He says, I have the right to do anything. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, but not everything is what? And we usually apply that to sin, but you need to apply this to this area of your life. You have the right to eat whatever you want, but not everything you eat is beneficial. And then here's the part I like. I will not be mastered by Popeyes, by anything. Do you know that people can be under slavery to food? When you hit stress or trauma in your life, you eat. You're not even concerned about what you eat.
I'm sad. I'm going to buy 2 buckets of ice cream and eat all the night.
Ain't going to wear it. Then you're going to feel bad about yourself. And it's a cycle. You know that when you feel good about, you know, just having good health can cause you to feel good about yourself. This is a fact. I'm not preaching to you today. I'm preaching to me too, right? My weight fluctuates. There are seasons, hallelujah, that, hallelujah, bless the Lord. Amen, hallelujah, amen. I watch back the tape and I'm like, don't put that up on YouTube. No, 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 no. You see how that face look? Hallelujah. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And when those seasons happen, You can feel good about yourself if you take care of your health. For example, sometimes when the seasons fluctuate and it's a bad season and the clothes don't fit no more, hallelujah, and you're starting to realize you got to get 2 sizes bigger, you go and you try on something and you just feel depressed. You just come preach like this. You hide. You're like, how y'all doing, brothers? But then when you are in a good health season, you move funny. I switch up. I come up, fit something, look nice on me. I walk up to Sherry and I'd be like, girl, you see the choice you made. Yeah, you want to look good. You want to look good because I want to live to see my kids get married. I want to walk all, you know, I can't walk the boys down, but I want to walk Savannah down the aisle with the gun next to me reminding her future husband, if it pop off, pop off. But I want to be alive to be there. I want to play with my grandkids. I want to spoil them and make them do everything that my kids do to me to their parents. I want to train them to be bad. I'm joking. Be like, he trying to discipline you? Talk back to him. Talk back to him. Tell him he wrong. And smile and have the strength to do it. I want to live to be able to preach. If God allows me to see 80 and 90, I want to be on somebody's stage preaching the word of God with strength. Come on, somebody. I want to live. And I don't want to eat myself into an early grave. Imagine there's so many people walking around don't even know they're diabetic. Which means somebody in this room is probably diabetic and don't know it. It's crazy. You know, you got to start doing this at an early age with your children. You know, kids, when they're young, you give them every and anything they eat. Because they're young. You're like, you ain't going to affect them. Here's a hot dog. Here's a piece of chicken. Here's this. Here's. But the problem is that they develop the habit of eating bad so fast that when life flips and now you're old and says you can't do that no more, all they've ever known is junk, so it's hard to switch. You see, the issue here for eating is really not a problem of eating, it's a problem of discipline. And anybody who does, in every area of your life, if you don't learn how to discipline yourself, you're going to have problems in that area. You can't say, I want to make, you know, I gave this example this morning. Like sometimes, you know, you can't just, you know, when we exercise, we usually exercise and then we talk about Wednesday's my cheat day. And on that cheat day, you really cheat. Like you cheat. You cheat so much that everything you didn't eat, you put back on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. It's the same thing when it concerns your finances. Sometimes you go to the restaurant and you just, you know, you're sitting there and you say, Lord, I want to save money this year. But, you know, you're going out to have a nice time. There's an $8 meal there. And then there's a $45 steak. You start convincing yourself, you know, I deserve the best. Now, what about me? Pastor said, come here, part and rest. This is part of resting. I ain't talking about eating no steak. And what you do is you talk yourself into buying something, and then you wonder why you're broke, because you have no self-control. Soda is one of the worst things you could put in your body, ladies and gentlemen. Soda is packed with so much sugar. I checked it. I did the research. They take so much sugar and they put it in soda. And you buy 2 liters of it. Hallelujah. Y'all mad at me? Try to make you live. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I will not be mastered by food. My fridge got a demon. And the demon show up every 11 o'clock at night and it whispers, Rich, come down. And I follow it. Spiritual battles be occurring in my house. Anybody got a fridge like mine? Y'all bought the same fridge? That's it, we're getting rid of our fridge. The word of the Lord is throw away your fridge. If you don't practice self-control, you eat yourself into an early grave. Not only that, you've got to look at what you buy to eat. Nowadays, you know, I don't know how they got fish that don't come from the sea no more. Genetic fish. Fish with an extra chromosome. Yeah, if you don't read that, you eating some X-Men fish. You gonna turn into Wolverine tomorrow. You all of a sudden, you got a beard growing funny, and you like, why don't the middle of my beard grow? You Wolverine now, dog. You ate the X-Men fish. I don't know where this is going.
I don't know what's happening here. Y'all get my point, though.
The world has no idea where all these cancers are coming from. People are waking up every second with cancer. And that's one thing that when you hear, you get. You hoping you catch it in the early stage, because if it's further along, ain't nothing short but a miracle. Every treatment they got, it just tries to slow down. You don't want to wake up in here. You got that. Watch what you eat. And you say, well, I'm just going to eat vegetables. Now they found a way to put the X-Man in the vegetables. Hallelujah. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me in this place. Can I show you? Look at this. Go to the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 12. I don't only want to be healthy just for my kids to be alive. There's benefits to when you eat right. How many of you want to get married next year?
I stand corrected, Sister Janet. Everybody stretch forth your hands to Sister Janet, who said nah this year. Lord, I stand corrected. I made a mistake. How many will get married this year? It's only Sister Janet.
All right, Lord, if they don't want to get married, keep them single another year. Let me try it again.
So, Janet, blessing and cursing y'all at the same time. God bless me, and if they don't want to get married, keep all them single. Let me alone, be the only one with a wedding.
How many of you want to get married next year? This year? Single people, do y'all want to get married?
Yeah.
All right, married people, how many of you want to stay married? Yeah, married people sound alive in this. Yeah! Single people, y'all. Thank you. Let me tell you something. I want to stay looking good for my wife. People act like when you get married, you just die and get fat. And ugly and dead. No, you still take care of yourself. Listen, when you get older, it gets tougher, but it don't mean you let yourself go. Discipline yourself. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I want to be so fly that when I walk by, Sister Sherry said, what was that? I walk back to that. Who's me, girl? It's just your husband. Look at all this fineness you picked. Look at what the book of Daniel says. I'm joking, but look at what the book of Daniel says. Daniel says, Daniel's in a situation here, and he says this. He says, please test your servant for how many days? No, a year. No. 2 years I got to live and eat right to feel the effects. How many of you fasted that 1 week? How many of you felt the difference? That on the Monday when you could have eat, you were scared to grab some food. And then your body first, some of you ain't fasting, y'all just doing whatever. I was like, I was good Monday. What y'all went through? If you was just eating on it, you wouldn't understand what we'd be talking about. But anybody that took that fast seriously and stuck to vegetables, fruits, not fruit snacks, and grain and water, Monday, you started to feel funny to even eat something that would, and the things that you started to try to eat again, it messed with your stomach. Anybody had that happen? That's only 7 days. And your body told you, we already feeling better, had more energy, felt more alive, running on, I'm running down Freeport like Rocky. I'm lying. I felt like I could though, because it was cold. I ain't running in the cold. Catch me in the spring though. Look, please test your servants for how many days?
10 days.
Give us what? Nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Go on. Then compare our what? Our what? our what? You not only, we're not only going to feel better, our skin will begin to look better. Our nails will be better. Hallelujah. Your teeth will be straighter. I'm lying. That part ain't, that's just what it is. Hallelujah. your appearance of with that of the young men who eat what? They got royal food. Just give us vegetables and water. And watch what happened. Come on, somebody. I know this might be tough for some of you, but I don't want, hallelujah, I'd rather be doing your wedding than your funeral. Come on, somebody. I'd rather be blessing your children and watch coming with you to your graduation of your grandchild rather than be doing your funeral. Come on, somebody. Look, he said, compare our parents with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. And so he agreed to this test and tested them for how many days?
10 days.
And look what happens. And at the end of the 10 days, they looked what?
Healthier.
And better what? Than any of the young men who ate royal castle. That's only Trinidad? Sorry. Y'all see this? You can change your whole... Sometimes we are so spiritual and our problem can be fixed by making physical changes. You can change your whole life by changing your diet. It's worth it. Come on, somebody. Here's the other part of health that people don't talk about. It's not just the physical body you want to take care of, but you want to take care of your mental health. Amen. 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 We live in an era where people are depressed and sad and suicidal and going through a lot in their head, and they need help. I have no problems people going to look for counseling or getting help anywhere. But where my problem lies is that the church has bought into this lie that when it comes to mental health, you have to leave the church and God to find help. That God can't help you with your depression. The devil is the biggest father of lies. Yeah, the Bible says he's the father of it. If God can heal physical diseases, he can fix mental health. Don't get me wrong. I am somebody who believes that if I'm sick, take aspirin. If it's not working out, cry out to the Lord. I'm the same person that believes if you need therapy, go get it. But cry out to the Lord. What most of us do is neglect God, y'all ain't gonna say nothing to me today, boy. Most of us, because some of us find our identity in our mental health problem. Come on, talk to me, life coaches. They don't really want to be delivered. They just want to come to you so that everybody can know they seen a therapist. I'm crazy. When you want help, you're going to get help. Y'all hear what I'm saying in this place? Let me show you. I'm going to go to a strange place to show you where I found a spiritual way to deal with when you feel like life is choking you. Anybody ever felt like that? You ever felt like you're just drowning in life, everybody else's life is moving and you dying? Y'all ain't going to say nothing to me. You never compared yourself to anybody else and felt depressed instantly. You never logged on for Instagram for 5 minutes and you just felt like, oh, God. I'm the only one on this island, huh? The rest of y'all ain't got no phone. That's the only way you ain't felt that. Hallelujah. You never felt like life is choking you? Well, if not, hold on and write these notes because it's coming. The book of Jonah, chapter 2, verse number 1. Jonah is swallowed up by a whale, by a big fish. And let's just read it. The Bible says from inside the fish, Jonah did what?
No, from outside.
From where? From
in.
Now, inside can't be good. I can only pray from the outside. The Bible says from the inside, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Let's see his prayer. He said, look at this. In my what? In my depression. In my lowest of moments. When I felt like I'm dead. No purpose to live in. No reason to go on. Life is against me. He said, I decided to do something. And what was that decision? I called on the Lord. And guess what he did? Hallelujah. Now look at this. Then he begins to describe the situation that's around him. He says, from deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. Anybody ever been depressed to the point where you feel like, I can't even get out of my bed today? Look, and you listened to my cry from such a place. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. Look at this. Anybody ever felt like this? That the currents are swirling about you. Everything is moving fast around you. Life is going. And then look at this. Then eventually all the waves and the breakers swept over me. You ever had a problem so big it's just drowning you? Look, go on. I said, I have been banished from your sight. And that's the thing. The depression makes you feel like God doesn't even care. I've been banished, yet I will look. He's encouraging himself. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Go on. Then engulfing waters threatened me. And the deep surrounded me. You know, some of you, let me make this practical. Some of you regurgitate this depressing stuff in your head. I will never be nothing. Somebody, you, wherever the trauma came from, you believed it and it stuck. Somebody told you, well, you don't look the part. You ugly. And forever, you always wrestle with that. Somebody told you, you'd never get this. And you see, y'all know me. I say this. It's one thing for you to say something about me. It's another thing for me to start saying what you said about me, about myself. And many of you are regurgitating what Satan said about you. I'm not even going to say your friend because it came directly from the devil. Who told you that God was going to keep you that state? And if you say, well, I tell myself based on the circumstance I've seen, you made yourself bigger than God. I will never be nothing. I'll never have more money. The devil is a liar. With discipline, you can come out of that. With the strength of the Holy Spirit, you can own a house. You can own two houses. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me in this place. This is not a health, wealth, prosperity thing. But I'm telling you, simple life changes. With the power of the Holy Spirit, you can see difference in your life. Whatever it is, my marriage will last. Why? No, my marriage will not. I will do the necessary work. I will cry out in my distress. We gonna work together. God is gonna fix you. Her birthday's Wednesday. Come back next week. We're going to celebrate her. Hallelujah. I love my wife. She's so dear. I love you. Let's just go home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Takes work. There's days that are tough, but you cry out to God. Hallelujah. Who told you that your circumstance wouldn't change? It's hard to counsel people that when you tell them, one of the first things they do in counseling, and then you come in and you sit down. A good counselor would ask this question if the counselor liked themselves. Does that make sense? Life coach? Do you want to change? Well, I don't know. All right, thank you, session over. I don't know if that's the right approach, life coach. They need a goal. Carlene just got, they need a goal. If they don't have a goal, they gotta play football. They need a goal. Show them soccer. Let them get a goal. You know why that's important? Because you have to desire, like Jonah, to get out of the thing that is engulfing you. And when he is speaking about deliverance, he's not speaking because he's been freed. He's speaking from the prison. And he's crying out to God. And so when you sit with people and you talk to them and say, do you want to change? But they keep saying, I don't know, Pastor. It just seemed like with me. Bye! Because you have already made up your mind, you will never change. But those who want to change, you got to identify what the problem is. What is it? You feeling depressed? You feeling lonely? You feel like God has given all these things he's saying. You feel like my life is purposeless. And let me help you here. It is okay to lament before God. You know why therapy works? I'm going to mess up the life coaches. It's not that they're so genius. And they have a deep look into your life. It's that they allow you an opportunity to talk. You read the book of Psalms. It was almost like David pulled up a chair and just said, God, I need a session. Strike my enemies. Those that rise up against me, you got to kill them, God. That's how he talked. You read it. And then somewhere in the middle, why is my soul downcast? Why am I so... But my soul shall make its boast. Something begins to happen in the therapy. That's what happens when you go and sit with a life coach. Y'all should pay me for all this promotion I've given y'all today, you know. Eh? You want to give out your cards too? You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to go before the Lord and cry out and let it all out. But some people just don't desire to change, so they'll never call on the Lord because you're scared that he just might deliver you. He just might do it, right? That reminds me of a friend. A friend had an issue, and every time he was physically ill, and they would say to him, yo, they call him for prayer for healing. Go on up. He'd be like, no, I'm good. I'm like, bro, you need healing. Go on up. He'd be like, no, I'm good. So somebody said, yo, why he never want to heal? He said, he collect government checks if they heal him. Some people benefit in some weird way from staying sick. Sister Janet is in the Republican section. You don't want work, go tap the check. You understand what I'm saying? Some people benefit in a weird way from staying sick. You can't be helped if that's your mindset. The first thing you got to do is want to come out. Identify what you're feeling. Sometimes you got to trace back. Where did this come from? Where did this lie of the enemy entered into my mind? And block up that area. Sometimes when you trace it back, you begin to even realize, now that you're older, how in the world did I let this person convince me this? How did I let this? Y'all hear what I'm saying? And look, let's go on. Let's read what he says. Look. Hallelujah. He says, you hurled me. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountain, I sank down. You see how low he sank? He said to the roots of the mountain. That's not a mountain above ground. That's a mountain that's under the sea. He said, that's how far I sank. Why? He identified me. Jonah's not being a hypocrite. He knew why he was where he was. Because he disobeyed God. Sometimes the source of what you're going through is not that deep. It's just that you refuse to call on the voice of the Lord and obey it. Look, he said, to the earth beneath barred me in forever. But look at the change. But you, Lord, my God, hallelujah, brought my life up.
Look, that's powerful. Come on, somebody who's depressed today, I'm speaking to you. You, my Lord, brought my life out of that pit. You don't have to live in that darkness. Look, when my life was ebbing away, I did what? I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Go on. And those who cling to worthless idols, now watch this. I want you to know, here's two things I'm going to give you, or at least one. Don't go to worthless idols to find the solution. You say, well, I don't go to no idol. I don't bow to no. In the old days, they had idols. Today, our idols are nicer. Like power, like fame, like money. And so we feel I can cure my depression if I get a little bit of status at the job. More higher you go, is the rougher it becomes. Some people feel it'll be cured once I get married. A whole lot of other devils there. Marriage is beautiful. It ain't God. And like one time somebody told me in this church, they went to a singles conference. I said, what'd you learn? They said something powerful. They said, Pastor, I learned that singleness is not a disease. Some people look at their singleness like, what's wrong with me? Nothing. It's a gift from God. There's so much you could do. You know, when you get married, you're done. Yo, what you doing? Let's get together. We're going to live this dream. I got a babysit, boy. I can't come. What are you doing tomorrow? I got to work. Why these kids? Telling you. Singleness is not a disease. Change your mind on these things. Look, those who cling to worthless idols, if you think money, if you think anything in this world is going, if I chase it and I get it, it will fix my depression, you have turned away from God's love. And the problem, why we feel empty, is because we lack the one who created us. Let me tell you, there's lies that this world tell you. I'm coming to a close. Listen. One of the biggest lies the world tell you is believe in yourself because you control your destiny. Half of your life, you didn't even do for you. Let me explain it this way. You didn't choose which family to be born in. You didn't choose what financial status to be born in. You didn't choose the color. All that stuff matters. Which family you were born in? Some of you are just crazy by default. You know, you meet somebody family, you like, I get it. Oh, now I understand you way better. Actually, you look good. Some families are just comfortable in dysfunction. And then you wonder why you're in chaos. Sometimes you gotta be like, you know what? I'm going to rent someplace. You hear what I'm saying? Let me tell you. So you never chose what family you were born in. You never chose what financial status you're going to be born into. You never chose the color of your skin. You never chose the giftings that is inside of you. You only discovered them along the way. Everything that is going to set you up for what you will be in life, you had nothing to do with, and yet you want to talk about, I believe in me. Everything that concerns your destiny was given to you by someone else. Now you want to consult you. Yes. Rick Warren said, if you look to the world, you'll feel distress. If you look inside, you'll feel depressed. But if you look to Jesus, you'll be at rest. Yes. Yeah. It's a lie. God has a cure. God can help you. And look. They turned away from God's love. Look at 9. But I, with shouts of what? Grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. He is being grateful before the thing happened. Now, let me tell you about the two types of gratefulness. There's gratitude and there's gratefulness that shows you got faith. If Denzel comes and says, I'm going to give you $30, and I wait until he give me, then when he gives me, I say, oh, thank you, Denzel. I'm giving gratitude.
But if he came to me originally and said, I'm going to give you $30, and I said, Denzel, man, you don't know how much that means to me. I thank you, man. I really needed that. I didn't even have it yet, but I walked away with thanksgiving. You know what I've just told him? I believe every word you said. And look, he said, I believe that I will get to the point where I say, salvation. And where is he? He's in the pit. He's in the belly. He's in depression. And he's saying, I believe God. In other words, this is how Jonah's praying. I don't see it. I look around me. I'm drowning. I look around me. Everything is chaotic. But Lord, I thank you that I know that it's going to come a day when I will say, yes, Lord, salvation came from you. I know you're going to pull me out of this. Look, go on. Go on. Go on. And when he began to speak like that, oh, gosh. This is it right here, y'all. And when he begun to thank God, saying, I know it won't always be like this. I know, God, you're going to, what is engulfing me will break. Lord, I won't always be thinking these thoughts. Lord, I won't always be feeling like life is overwhelming. Lord, God, I won't feel like, God, I'm purposeless. I know. When you do that, then this happens. The Lord hears. And the Lord commanded the fish. Everything that dark cloud let Jonah go. It broke. It broke. One of the things that you should try while you are in mental health situations, now there's different levels to that. There's clinical stuff. And I always recommend you go see a doctor. If you're struggling, though, with depression, have you tried crying out to the Lord? David understood that. David lost everything at Ziklag. Everybody gone, everything stolen. And the Bible says, and David inquired of the Lord. And the Bible says this about him, David encouraged himself in the Lord. One of the ways you can help your depression is by praying and asking God, help me, Lord Jesus. And not just help me, but God, I believe you will. And pray his word back to him. You see, what he was quoting here is what David said. When he said salvation comes from the Lord, David said that a long time ago. He said it like this, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. God is able to free your mind. Two things you got to look at, your physical health and your mental health.